You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
When the chips are down and democracy's back is up against the wall, two radio veterans step up to the microphone to right the wrongs, standing for truth, justice, and just because. Hey, are they ready to go yet? It's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
Packing up my stuff. Just getting my shirt on. What the hell?
It's time to end the show now.
What? Okay, well, aren't you paying attention? Where's my shoes? My shoes.
You miss them.
WMDX.
Gunboats.
92.7. Yeah, I know.
What size shoe do you wear? I mean, I've never seen shoes that.
They usually use them to keep the doors open here.
But, yeah, they do.
Yeah. You know, I get these, I order them online, Kizik's. Kizik shoes. You might have seen a few ads from them. They have the uncrushable heel on them. You know how you kind of push your foot in sometimes? My son's never been down to tie their shoes. They tie them once, and then they slide their feet in every time. I don't know how they do that, but it would drive me crazy if the shoes were too loose. But with Kizik's, you can tie your shoes as tight as you want and then slide your foot right in there.
Really?
Yeah. And it never crushes. The heel always bounces and springs back on your heel, and it's perfect. You can always – in fact, I got the shoes. I was interested in them because they hurt my back.
Okay.
And I thought I had a permanent back problem, so I was trying to get something that works for me as far as shoes are concerned, and I was able to find the Kizik's. And, by the way, Skechers also has the same kind of gizmo on the back of their heels.
They call them slip-ins, not slip-ons.
That's right. Yeah.
Slip-ins.
Yep.
I want to try some of those.
Yeah. See, those are really cool, so you don't have to bend down.
I know.
If you have a back problem,
right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
But now my back is much better. Don't know how that happened, but now. But I love these things.
Now.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, good morning.
Did I go way too long on that?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. Let me hold me back.
We're just warming up. That's okay. Yeah. It's 8 minutes.
Just Ask John. There was just another segment of Just Ask John.
I don't think we asked you anything, but thanks for sharing. It's 8 minutes past the hour. It's cloudy this morning, and it's a Thursday, June 12th. Lots of stuff going on today. The clouds look like they're going to hang in there at least for a while this morning.
Yep.
And currently 61 degrees. Do you have your Samsung WMD watch?
Well, I always do. You know, it's always
WMDX.
Here ready to go.
I said some other call letters. That's okay.
Oh, you did.
I transferred half of my old call letters from the TV station to the radio station. I said WMDU. I used to work at WNDU. Now I'm working at WMDX, but I combine. Never mind. What time is it?
I always get it confused with WMAD as well. So,
oh yeah, so many call letters, so little time.
It happens when you get fired all the time. You have to get a job at a crosstown radio station somewhere.
Okay, are over.
It's currently 62 degrees and a high of 78 today. A low tonight of 55 degrees, which may be a lot more comfortable than it was this evening.
Well, let's roll the bar dice and see what that says about the afternoon high, okay?
All
you
right.
Got those handy there,
yeah,
Dominic?
Move the beer aside.
Producer
there you go.
Extraordinaire. Flipping the buttons and hitting the switches. 7 and a 6. The unusual 7 die shows up again. 76
we've
for a high.
We've got special die.
Yeah.
Right?
What did you say for high?
Well, now you have to check.
You got to check it again.
77, right? 77?
Did I say 77? No, 78.
78.
Okay,
78.
Well, good.
If I said 77, then I'd be thinking of 77 Sunset Strip.
Yeah, that was a great TV show. So talking about call letters, there's a big reunion tonight.
There is.
The WIBA reunion.
Yes.
All the people that ever worked there, which seems like everybody, worked there at least for a few minutes.
Half of Madison will be there.
Right. But they're celebrating 100 years, right?
Something is that right?
Yes, of being on the
wow.
air. Big wing ding a little bit later on. I think we're going to make a brief appearance.
I think we're going to have to go there.
Yeah.
Do we know what time it starts?
Well, I don't know. But the Madison Night Market is happening.
That's
tonight,
the thing.
So
we have to balance it with the night market. Yeah. We got to be down there.
Yeah.
We've got our new T-shirts to you know, turn people on to.
Got our John and Gordy T-shirts. And
what's
also
the other thing we're going to do? We're going to
WMBX
hold
t-shirts.
That up. Yeah.
So hold it up to the camera if you're watching on Facebook or
there you go.
YouTube or, you know, X or
look
wherever.
At that.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Good, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So we've got those T-shirts. We're
it does
be
not glow
away.
In the dark. It does not glow
in the dark. It looks like it does, though.
It could.
And we'll also be there talking about our Best of Madison nomination and award.
Yeah,
so,
it's more important than anything, really.
You know, we'll help you vote if you want. You know, we'll guide you through the voting process if you show up.
Well, you got to point your camera, right, at the QR code? Is that what the whole thing is right there?
We have.
And then you get a sticker saying that you voted for John and Gordy.
Oh, yeah, I got the stickers. They're over on my desk.
Oh, we got them finally.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty snazzy, okay, for a sticker. what are we getting from Doug? Okay. Doug is piping up already from St. Francis this morning on
that's
the text.
Right. Yeah.
Says, has Sage told you guys when he will be done training the AI that's going to take your place? No, he hasn't.
He hasn't mentioned that yet, but we're kind of waiting word.
Somehow Doug knows these things before we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works. Okay, so here it is Thursday. A little later on, Tim Slecker will return. We haven't talked to him for a couple of weeks.
That's right.
We'll be talking education with Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, and attorney Jim Santel will join us to tell us what the heck's going on.
You know,
I mean, there's so many
a lot of legal
things going on.
I know. We'll be talking about the grand jury indictment of Abrego Carzia.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also he wants to talk about Pam Bondi's press conference. I have a cut from that. I'm not quite sure what we're going to talk about in regards to that, but we're going to play that later on.
Jim Santel's going to
talk
about
that? Then, of course, the Supreme Court giving access to Doge at the Social Security Administration.
Yes, yes.
We'll be talking about that as well. And I want to ask him about court baiting. Now, I mentioned this to you the other day, but Trump's plan is to court bait. What you do is you bring a case to the court,
okay,
and it's an unpopular case, and the court will have to make a decision, and they'll make the decision that will probably anger the base of Trump. In other words, it'll anger the cultists out there, and they will turn the public against the courts.
This will influence the courts.
So it's court baiting. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a new term
I'm not familiar with.
I have never heard it before either, but, you know, there are a lot of new things from this administration.
So, Dom, I want to ask you a question to you.
Oh, God.
What's going on over here in the studio? What did you put a microphone in front of
the tornado.
The fan. Why did you do that?
Listen, the reason was because it was blocking your view. It was blocking your view, Gordy, on YouTube.
Okay. It was blocking the camera?
It was blocking the camera completely.
Oh, okay. I thought you put the mic over there because you wanted some wind sound or something.
Before
that's what I thought too. It's kind of a special effect here.
That's good. Okay. So you're going to be with us at Night Market at least for a little while.
I'll be setting up.
So you get to meet our new producer, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Did you fall out of bed again this morning?
I did not. My foot is fully healed now, and
good.
I didn't fall out of bed this time.
Good.
I just want to prepare you. Sam used to man the table down at the Night Market.
He was all about the
Night Market. From the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And he was there hosting the
big wheel.
The prize wheel.
Sure.
And that I think is something you're going to have to
big shoes to fill.
Well,
exactly.
We'll show you the ropes. Okay, so here it is, the 12th day of June. Anything on the history books or in the birthday file? Dom, what do you have for us?
Yeah,
today?
So we didn't do this yesterday, but first Indiana Jones movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, was released today, 1981.
You know, we have that theme.
That's a great.
We have that theme.
In our music.
Oh, do we really?
Yeah, we've got Raiders of the Lost Ark. You might want to throw that in as we continue to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark. Boy, that was a great movie, wasn't it?
It sure was. Yeah, it's still, you know, still a great movie.
The Rolling Rock in there that he has to outrun. that was a tribute to a scene in Journey to the Center of the Earth with James Mason and Pat Boone. They were, you know, going to the center of the earth, and this giant rock came loose, and it rolled. It was one of those round rocks.
Perfectly round.
And it rolled right toward them. They had to outrun it and jump over a cliff in order to get away from the rock. It just, it's fantastic stuff. There you go, right there.
Yeah. See? That's great. Yeah.
Wow. This is beautiful.
It is.
Have you seen the movie?
I actually have not seen many Indiana Jones.
You gotta see it.
Yeah, you definitely have to watch the first two at least three.
Yeah, the Indiana Jones movies.
The three, and then I know there's a really bad one in there.
Yes.
I can't say the rest of them were any good.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a little cliche.
First two were. Really
I don't know why Spielberg did that, but
the money.
Did. But not, you know, he makes such great movies, right? Yeah. And then he has these cliches that he overemphasizes.
Okay. But the first two are really good.
Yeah.
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 Anything else in the history or in the...
Harry Houdini did his first performance today. I don't know the exact date, but it was a straitjacket escapee, and he was on a crane, and he was... like upside down.
Upside down, yeah.
Yeah, so that was his first Harry Houdini act.
Who played him in the movie? Was it Tony Curtis? Or
I think so. I think so. I think you're right.
That up. Yeah. Yeah, they had a movie about Houdini. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harry Houdini. First really amazing performance magician, I guess you'd say. Birthdays?
Birthdays. Blake Ross. Blake Ross. He was the founder of Firefox. Which is, in my opinion, not the best web browser. At least that's just my humble opinion.
Well, when was the last time you checked to see whether it has improved or not?
Today.
Still out there?
Really?
Today, yeah, StreamYard uses Firefox every day.
Oh!
No kidding.
Yeah, and it always has problems.
I kind of use Firefox a lot for the census. Yeah, I had to look up properties and stuff like that. So, but I liked it, and I saw all the updates they put on it. I thought maybe it improved dramatically.
Once I get out of StreamYard, I'm sure it'll be way better.
The whole thing is, you know, with Edge now, and they save all the passwords. I go with Edge because it's cross platforms. You know, you have it on your phone, you have it on the home computer, and then you have it on your laptop. So it's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just ask John. Don't
okay, you? Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Birthdays.
Two more. We got Brad Delp, who I didn't know who that was. But he was an American, American rocker. He was an American musician. And then we have Anne Frank, 1929.
Mm. All right.
So those were the three.
And, well, the very sad news is that Brian Wilson passed away.
Right.
Dementia. He's been battling that for quite a while, and a lot of people have taken advantage of that with Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
He did some touring to get some of that money back, but just an incredible, incredible legacy of music.
Musical genius and a great songwriter and singer and really the leader of the Beach Boys.
I mean, compliments going back and forth from the Beatles to the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to play a little bit of Beach Boys from time to time this morning, including this one. Great song, In My Room. Coming up, we'll be talking with Tim Slecker shortly, and also in our next hour, Jim Santel, and of course, the Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest, all coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
92.7 WMDX. Little Beach Boys here. If you should ever leave me, God only knows, this is Paul McCartney's favorite song of all time.
Yeah.
Which encouraged him to really broaden a lot of his songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of the great ones.
Really is. It's John and Gordy in the morning, 6:23, cloudy today, highs in the mid-70s, maybe a couple of sprinkles or showers along the way. Let me mention this portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. They are at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They offer fast and flexible appointments, passion over profit, and they're family-owned, and they help people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Madison Hearing Aid Center, you can go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com, get an initial hearing test there, set up an appointment, and check them out. Madison Hearing Aid Center on Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Okay.
Yeah, another thing about the Beach Boys and the early songs that they produced, car songs.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, they did the surf songs as well, but the car songs are super important at that time because, you know, the old saying was, my kingdom for a car. Mm. You know, we really looked up to cars. Wheels gave us freedom.
Yes.
We couldn't wait to get our driver's license and cruise around.
Yes.
And
teens in those years and getting their hot rods every once in a while, you'd get an old car.
Just an old car.
Chop it
they
up.
Were always available at the at the boneyard, and you'd fix it up a little bit. They were easy to work on because most of them were like straight sixes, you know.
Right, yes.
But the whole thing here was, you know, world for a car. I mean, you just needed those wheels. And, and Diana Shore used to sing about seeing the USA in a Chevrolet, right?
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, of course, the drive-in movies were kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
So you take the
car out to that. I mean, it was the center of everybody's universe at the time.
Yeah.
So it was really important. I know that may be hard to believe for Gen Zers out there to understand how important a car was, because nowadays they don't even get a driver's license.
They just get around on, little scooters and stuff.
All this about, you know, when I was doing the census survey, a lot of people would complain to me about their kids still being at home and not having a driver's license. And I identified with them because my kids were the same way.
Mm-hmm. There's quite a few friends of mine that still don't have their driver's license right now.
Okay.
And I'm
that would never have happened in the 60s.
Right.
So, unbelievable. Yeah, but the Beach Boys had a lot of great car songs. I remember 409.
Yeah.
That was one of the first records I ever bought was 409. Because it started out with the vroom, you know, I mean, it had the engine sound in there.
She's real fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, so sad for the passing of Brian Wilson yesterday. 82
Absolutely.
Years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, real leader of the Beach Boys. Last of the Wilson brothers. Carl Wilson died a number of years ago, and, of course, Dennis Wilson drowned.
Yes, yeah. I mean, this guy was the surfer in the group, and he drowned.
Yes.
So not good, not good.
Right. And, Beach Boys, I mean, just a big part of our growing up lives, yours and mine, and people our age. And I had the chance to, when they were playing in South Bend, I got on stage with the Beach Boys.
Yes,
I was
you
a
did.
TV
That's
weatherman.
Right. I remember that.
Now, Brian wasn't with the band at that time because he had separated from the band
for a while.
Long time.
Yes.
But Mike Love was still there. And you know, a couple of the other guys.
He was not a nice guy.
Al Jardine.
Mike Love was not a nice guy.
No, he wasn't. He was very standoffish.
Yeah.
I mean, we met him, you know, before the show and explained, you know, they have a part in the show where they get a local celebrity to come up on stage during Barbara Ann, because you can't screw up that song too badly. You know, it's really easy song.
Give you a tambourine and go on stage.
Pretty much.
And
but I'm standing right next to Mike Love. Right, and the same microphone, and I'm like, my God, you know, what an awesome presence.
And he had to keep pushing you away from the mic because, you know, Gordy wanted to kind of take over,
he wouldn't let me. So. No, they were nice enough, but very standoffish.
Yeah.
little odd, but anyway, that's my Beach Boys story.
All right. Well, you know, the big news is that a plane went down. In India, I believe,
yes.
Over 250 passengers, I would assume, are all dead at this point. They showed the takeoff or the attempted takeoff.
Yeah.
And you could just see the plane descend.
Yeah, really.
And then the ball of flames. So it's, I mean, it's horrific. Absolutely horrific. And I always thought, why pack so many people on an airplane? Because I don't trust airplanes in the first place, and I don't think everybody should either. But
This was a 767.
You pack so many people on these things. Yeah. I mean, so many people can die so suddenly.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
We don't know the cause, of course, this now, early on, but it was headed toward London.
We're seeing clips right now of the protest in California. Is it just me? Or are there very few protesters out there? For the entire length of this discussion, there have been very few protesters in the streets. I don't get this. This is a show.
It's all for the video. I'm telling you, yes. That's all it is.
It's ridiculous. It's my God. I mean, the crowds are actually people watching, you know, what's happening with the police and the National Guard. The military's still not out there yet, thank God.
Yeah.
But this whole thing is just a fiasco. And then what they did was now they're arresting all these people because they were out after curfew. And they're the violators.
Yeah.
Hey, to the full extent of our law, let's prosecute them. My God, this is just out of hand.
Yes, it is. It's 29 past the hour. When we come back, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils talking education on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Giddy up, 409. My 4-speed dual quad posit traction 409. Nothing can touch my 409. Jet Without Wings.
God.
That was the land speed record attempt, I believe. Spirit of America, Beach Boys, and Brian Wilson passed away. John and Gordy celebrating his musical legacy here on John and Gordy in the Morning.
6:35, it's cloudy. Maybe a couple of sprinkles or showers here and there, but for the most part, just mostly cloudy today and highs in the mid-70s. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. Plenty has changed since 1958, since they opened their doors, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east side and west side. Just go to verlo.com for more information. Okay.
All right. Back again from the long vacation he took moving and getting a new job and and everything else.
Traveling around the country.
It's Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils joining us today.
And he's all dressed up with a suit and tie and everything. It's what?
I said I felt so bad about, you know, all of the neglect I was putting forward. So I had to show up today and express my sincere sorrow and ask your forgiveness.
So well, you dress I like forgive you, but Gordy holds a grudge. So.
Why are you dressed this way, though? Really? Is that the way you...
Your new job? Is that it?
Today, too, is the first lunch with the University Board of Trustees.
Oh, yes.
And this will be the first time they get to meet me, and I've figured that my AC/DC rock and roll t-shirt wouldn't be appropriate.
Well, I don't know, Tim, you should just test it out, see what happens.
You're
the guy. I was listening to your current podcast that's dropped a few days ago, and one of the topics that I think is really, really interesting at this point. History teachers, how do they cover current events in this country in the classroom because of all of the problems with DEI and things you can't say in class these days, you know, because of the propaganda, supposedly, or the indoctrination? How does a teacher relate to the students when they want to know a little bit more about this stuff?
You stick to Fox News speaking points.
well, there you really? Go. That was simple.
Do you have that in every classroom, too? Fox News plays everywhere?
Just keep the Fox News app on your phone. Keep it running in the background. And, you know, because you will be getting the other side's story of their, you know, their plight of oppression.
Okay.
Being conservatives, and you know, typically we don't hear their side of the story.
Oh, that's true. Yes, we never hear about it. Yeah.
No. You know, they always.
Yeah, they have a hard time, you know, saying anything because people always try to silence them. You know, and
yes, it's you know, one of those things. No, it's, you know, we bring this up because because of this administration and the way things are going, it's been really kind of pressing to think about, okay, how do I present current events in a kind of atmosphere where it feels like that things might be off limits because of getting in trouble, and teachers don't want to do that. And what Johnny and I were trying to bring back is saying, you know, we have to really guard against making decisions like that, because the responsibility, not just history teachers, all teachers, when things like this happen and kids come in and are asking questions, the reality here is that teachers, you are in that space to help the students make sense of what's going on. And that doesn't mean that you're taking a position, that you're indoctrinating, and in fact avoiding those conversations because of a fear that you might, quote, get in trouble, really continues to then be a real detriment to learning, and continues to kind of push forward this idea that, you know, we don't talk about, quote, controversial issues. And the reality that we're believing that current events are controversial, that's what we need to be talking about. There are questions. There's a clarity that a teacher can bring to those conversations. I think what you're hearing, though, now is that there's a real fear that even being from a position of just providing clarity feels like they might be accused of some type of indoctrination. And, you know, that's a real frightening point. So we have been really pointing, you know, forward to say, but that is your responsibility as a teacher, is to, again, not, quote, take a position, but to help students really try to say, here are the facts. Here's what we know. Here's what's happening. You know, and be ready for when, well, at home last night, though, my dad said this, or I was watching this, and you say, okay, I understand where your dad's coming from. Here are the issues, and these are the people have, you even point out, people have their own, you know, ability to make their own decisions and to hold their own positions. But here in school, here are the facts that we know. Let's talk about them, and then kind of go, well, what do you guys think? Because that's what it means to be a teacher, is to engage in these conversations. And I think in this atmosphere, though, teachers are just really frightened by the possibility. And, you know, and that comes back to going and saying, you know, and remember, that's really the goal anyway of putting forward all these regulations. They won't stick. They can't hold up in court or any of those things. They don't have to. Just putting forward, they have the effect of silencing teachers.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I think is more difficult to explain is reality from what is being talked about and said in the media. And how do you deal with something like that? Like when I'm watching the coverage of the protests in L.A., I'm not seeing a lot of protesters. So they're acting like, you know, L.A. is in flames. It's blown up. And what we're seeing is completely different from that. So how do you discuss the problem of making those two topics work together or be able to talk about it without sounding partisan?
Well, yeah, I think on this one, too, though, you come out from the standpoint of saying, you know, media represents places where they happen to be. And so the reality of saying, you know, there's a car burning in this episode of the news that you're watching, and in this other channel there's people, you know, peacefully putting flowers in the barrels of the guns. And the reality is to point out and say these things are potentially both happening, but that the interesting thing to talk about here is this is a media literacy moment to point out that guess what? People who put our news on make choices and decisions about what it is they're going to show. And therefore, that influences the message that we as consumers of media are there. And so this is, again, what does it mean to be a really responsible, active citizen in a democracy? It is being aware that media, all media, has an ability to try to influence us from what's really going on.
That's right. And I know Johnny brought up in your discussions the fact that a lot of these politicians are using the students as cannon fodder in all of this. They're putting them in between, and it's making it more difficult because the students are now being used themselves as part of this propaganda.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. So again, what the, and it's not just LA now, right? I mean, the protests are spreading, right. You know, and then there's this conversation of saying, you know, what's actually driving this? And, you know, we're moving into, you know, does this administration actually really know what they're doing by putting forward, you know, reasons to kind of, you know, take a certain part of the protesting population and really push them into positions to create acts of violence.
Talking with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, a podcast that you can hear on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I want to move on to this thing with Linda McMahon. You set that up, John. What's this deal about her and mascots? What's this all about?
Well, yeah, she's out there, you know, she's... course, tearing apart the Department of Education.
Yes,
at the same
time, busy doing that.
But she is very busy defending racist mascots, if you can believe this. Racist mascots. So let's listen to this cut. This is Linda McMahon talking to the press about racist mascots.
Okay.
All right.
Now, at this point, you might be asking yourself, does anyone in this cabinet even know what their job is? Well, based on what Education Secretary Linda McMahon has been up to, still no.
Education Secretary Linda McMahon weighed in on Long Island's continuing mascot battle. She was in Massapequa yesterday. It's one of 13 districts fighting to keep Native American school nicknames and mascots. The state says if the mascots are not changed by June, funds will be withheld. But McMahon says the ban violates civil rights because names and mascots of other racial and ethnic groups are still allowed.
We reserve the right to turn over this investigation to the Department of Justice. Because that's how serious we are about this.
Wow, serious.
Great use of your time, Education Secretary. China's schools are producing 1 million engineers a minute, but it's okay because our students will know how to do the tomahawk chop.
All right. Okay. Wow. You know, taking up this mascot issue is just ridiculous. It truly is. And then, of course, you know, her philosophy is, or at least the administration's philosophy is, if you do one thing, then that means you can't do another thing. And so it negates everything. You can't do anything at this point, right? I mean, it's just a free-for-all in education.
I mean, there, you know, the fact is, too, and I saw the other defense of this was is that, well, wait a minute. These mascots honor these indigenous groups of the past and how racist it is to want to take away these mascots that are standing there proclaiming how amazing the indigenous populations are. These are not racist mascots. These are tributes to the greatness of the Native American populations that were wiped out.
That's right. Yeah.
Again, the logic and things like you hear here, it's just like, yeah, first of all, yeah, what is Linda McMahon? I like the bit there, too, about going, China's producing a million engineers, and, you know, we've got students that continue to hold on to their tomahawk chop or their, you know, their hoot and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, again, what is happening here? I think this conversation, though, actually does take away from the fact of, okay, Linda McMahon, you're dismantling the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. We're now going to actually focus on this crazy thing when we should really mm-hmm. be deeply digging into going, wait a minute, we're dismantling an entity that really provides resources for students across the country who don't have adequate resources. And instead, we're blurred by, you know, her doing a suplex on she's suplexing DEI.
Yes. So. Although we've got more on DEI coming up in just a few moments, too, from Linda McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Stay with us. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tim Slecker in a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning. Love and mercy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Stephanie Miller here. Listen up, my pals John and Gordy are up for Best Radio Team in Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. I know, I was surprised too. Just kidding, please vote for them because they lead into my show, and when they do well, it helps me out too. Me. Love you, John and Gordy.
Love you too, Stephanie.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
That's Stephanie Miller, of course.
John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
We are up for Best of Madison. Yeah. If you want to find out how to vote, you can go to WMDXradio.com. All the information is right there. And, of course, we're going to be at the Madison Night Market tonight from 5 till around 9. And
we have a little competition. Gordy's going to arm wrestle anyone, and if you lose, you have to vote for us.
There you go. That's it. And we have our new John and Gordy T-shirts. Yeah. We'll be giving away a few of those tonight at the Night Market, as well as our WMDX T-shirts. We have a new T-shirt there, too. And so that's tonight. So stop by, say hi. We'll help you decide how to vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. Why don't we get to a great cut from Linda McMahon? Yeah. We love talking about Linda McMahon
back
here
with
on the
Dr.
show
Tim Slecker,
with Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils. So let's play this. This is the reporter doing all the work in this one. So let's hear it. Linda McMahon.
Are you not telling the administration how to run their admissions process?
Do you not think that by the own admission of Harvard, that only 3% of their faculty were conservatives? Do you think that's a diversity of viewpoint on campus? Because those you can't possibly believe that. And I do think that that's one of the things that Harvard and Columbia and other universities are taking a serious look at, is what is that balance?
And I think that that's... trying to figure out where these intersect. On one hand, you're saying that they should be focused on merit-based admissions and that they should not engage in diversity, equity, inclusion practices. But then at the same time, you're saying that they need to admit more conservative students.
Well, the case of the students versus Harvard, I mean, my goodness, the Supreme Court clearly said that we have to look at Harvard's admission process because they are not doing it on merit. And so that was very clear, and that is the standard that we have to look at.
Right. And so this is where McMahon and the Department of Education and the White House are justifying cutting off these funds and the $2 billion in grants and cutting and ending foreign visa service opportunities for students to study at Harvard. Part of their justification is the Title VI civil rights violations that they claim through DEI programs and admissions hirings that Harvard, they say, is engaged in. At the same time, she is making the case that it is incumbent upon Harvard to also admit more conservative students. And there you have her response in terms of seemingly contradictory statements.
Yes, seemingly. No, no actual contradictions.
I don't hear that.
Really?
Being a very firm supporter of DEI, I hear her very much pointing out that the oppression over the years that conservatives have faced in academia, it merits them to a special status that, you know, they're above DEI and need to be considered. Because no one's advocating for conservatives. And, you know, the education department and the federal system of justice is here to level the playing field. This is not DEI when you're restoring the rights of an oppressed group.
That's right.
You know, so... And if anybody, you know, it's funny, I would go into a rant like that on our show.
Yeah.
And you got to watch Johnny's face, because Johnny, he doesn't do sarcasm, and he gets this look on his face like, where, oh my God, what happened to Tim?
he doesn't react to sarcasm that well. He doesn't,
he's not on his radar.
Yeah.
You know, but
I know that's what I love about hearing you two guys go.
But it you know, I mean, that's the argument that mm-hmm. that she's trying to potentially put forth, which was one of the things that we did say about why DEI matters is that there are long-term oppressed groups, oppressed viewpoints that have for the longest time been silenced by the majority. And so we use DEI to say, let's bring those oppressed voices to a place where they should be also heard. And they're attacking that.
Yes.
But then wanting to come back and say, but our oppressed group needs DEI treatment. And you're going, okay, what's going on here?
I know. The heads explode. You know, it's a bizarre world. By the way, we have one of your favorite listeners on the line right now. Mark has a question.
Mark, we got to keep it quick. Only got a minute, so...
Yeah, for Trump's parade, maybe somebody needs to be standing behind Donald Trump like the old Roman triumphs when the general is getting his triumph, whisper in his ear, remember thou art mortal, remember thou art mortal, during the whole damn parade. that's to remind the man that he is indeed mortal and he is not, you know, some god we are supposed to be worshiping. I mean, that shows, you know, I can read that frequently in the history books. And but Trump is getting a little too big for his britches, and maybe he needs to get that little reminder, and it's historically significant.
Yeah. Well, I hope
thanks, there's... Mark, thank you for that
call.
I hope
there's some kind of court case, you know, arguing the same point that McMahon could not wiggle her way out of, you know, in regards to a simple reporter's question. And that's the kind of reporting that we should be looking for at this point, you know.
Yeah. You know, and that goes back to saying, I mean, you know, that's media's job. And when we're talking to students and stuff, you know, those are the hard questions they should be asking. And so as students, we want to prepare them to be able to think deeply about going, you know, hear when people are trying to pull your leg, because that's what's, you know,
exactly.
It's the old, don't tell me something in the shower when I know what's really happening.
Exactly.
We got to leave it there. Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, new podcasts Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and their show on the weekends on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We also had an AI cut that we wanted to play for you that would just freak you out.
We'll get to that next time. Thank you, Tim.
All right, guys. Later.
Take care.
Coming up next, it's our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. We'll reveal the key word in just a few minutes on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.